So the next speaker is Zigang He. So Zigang is, we met 20 something years ago when he was a postdoc with Marc Tessier-Lavigne. And we were competing at that time. And he was, of course, more clever. So he won the race and found the receptor for the first receptor for semaphorins called neuropilin 1. And then he decided, he knew nothing about regeneration, but then he decided, OK, I want to work on regeneration. So as soon as he was recruited at Harvard, I visited his office, and he had just one book by Carral on regeneration, and said, I want to study regeneration. So, OK, why not? It's a bit weird idea. And as you will see, he did very, very, very important discoveries in this field. And the fact that you had a fresh brain, I think, fresh mind coming from elsewhere, was such that it really helped a lot of people in this field. So now, Zigang is professor at Harvard Medical School, and we see from his CV on the web, he got many, many awards, and we are very happy that he could join us today. So thanks a lot, Zigang.
I would like to start by thanking Alain for a very kind introduction, also Dr. Sahil for opportunity to participate in this wonderful meeting at this prestigious institution. So as Alain mentioned, my lab has been interested in understanding why axons cannot regenerate in the adult central nervous system in hope to develop a strategy for neural repair after injury. So one of the models we have been using in the lab is optic nerve injury, as nicely introduced by previous speakers. So optic nerve is only connection channel between eye to the brain. So obviously that's very important. John also mentioned, if we can resolve the problem of the optic nerve regeneration, perhaps that it will be useful for audacious project like eye transplantation. So ideally, we want to have a strategy to promote injured axons to regenerate. Hopefully, regenerating axon can find a target in the brain and reform functional connection, hopefully leading to functional recovery. So today, I will first talk about our result on the method to promote axons to regenerate, also illustrate the challenge we are facing towards to the functional recovery. So the first question, why axons cannot regenerate? So one simple mind of view is we know that during development, axons can grow, with growth ability. But in the adult, those mature neurons lose growth capacity. So for regeneration to occur, what we really want to do is to allow these mature neurons to regain growth ability, but without losing neural identity, because they have very important connections in the retina, and that's very important too. To question how to do it. So we have been using the strategy by removing growth suppressor molecules in retinal ganglion neurons. So why we do that? Because we know during not only retinal ganglion neuron, almost any cell type in our body. So during development, initially they will grow because of a growth factor, neurotrophin. But at some point, they have to stop growing, right? Otherwise, they will become tumor. So why those cells don't grow become tumor? Because each of the cell in our body have a distinct tumor suppressor genes or the growth suppressor molecule. So we were hypothesizing these molecules might participate in inhibiting axon growth after the injury as well. So back to almost 10 years ago, our lab trying to test this hypothesis by collecting different mouse line with a conditional knockout of the tumor suppressor genes. So then we introduce AAV Cre, this recombinase, as introduced by Alain, injected this AAV Cre into the vitreous body to delete flux the tumor suppressor genes. So then we perform the optic nerve injury, inject the CTB to trace axon, and also look at the neuronal survival. But this strategy, we found after P10 deletion, So we see a lot of long distance regeneration. So that might be the first mammalian model with such a dramatic regeneration phenotype. So in terms of a mechanism, the P10 is a lipid phosphatase. Functionally, it's an offset to PI3 kinase. So it's PI3 kinase is one of the key signaling pathway for neurotrophin signaling. So you know, neurotrophin can activate PI3 kinase and a few different downstream molecules like mTOR. mTOR is important for protein lipid synthesis. You know, for the axon grow, you need a lot of material. So that really makes sense. So if we inhibit P10, that will automatically increase PI3 kinase activity. So you know, it's not totally surprising that it can promote axon regeneration. But you know, important to know is that for some reason in the adult after injury, if we give neurotrophin by themselves, that's not sufficient to promote axon regeneration. So when we quantify a number of percentage of the regenerating axon, so actually surprisingly only like 6 to 8% of axon able to regenerate after P10 deletion. So first question is what are those 10% of 6 or 8% of RGC or the optic nerve? So their specific population or the random population, and also P10 is a tumor suppressor, you know, it's really not a good drug target. Can we find you know, safe method to mimic regeneration promoting effect of the P10 deletion? For this question, we have been very fortunate to collaborate with Josh Sen's lab. As you know, Josh's lab has been doing extremely elegant work in characterizing different subtype of retinal ganglion neurons. So I just give you a few examples over here. So basically, they collect a number of mouse line labeling individual subtype of retinal ganglion neuron, not only cell body and also axon, with a YAP or GAP. So now with this different mouse line, we can inhibit P10. So by injecting AAV to express shRNA to inhibit P10 into this different mouse line. Look at after injury, what type of RGC, optic nerve will be able to regenerate. As you can see here, only this KCNG4 labeled line as alpha cells are able to regenerate. We can also inject the CTB into the vitreous body to label all of regenerating axon. That can allow us to estimate what percentage of regenerating axon from this particular population. As you can see here, it's more than 90% of regenerating axon from this alpha type of RGC. So that is interesting and gave us a hint, you know, to ask what is special about the alpha RGC. So, and again, you know, the very nice gene profiling study performed in Josh's lab find this molecule osteopontin is selectively expressed in the alpha RGC in the retina. So it is known osteopontin is an extracellular molecule that can bind to integrin and other cell surface molecule. And a very nice study from Amer Hook in Johns Hopkins University also have a very interesting data suggesting in peripheral nerve system, osteopontin is very important for the axon regeneration. So we then thought about a possibility. Maybe we should test if we overexpress the osteopontin to see if that can promote optic nerve regeneration. So this is what we find. If we inject AAV, this virus, into the vitreous body to overexpress osteopontin, then perform optic nerve injury, still there's no regeneration. However, as I mentioned earlier, the osteopontin can bind to different integrin. As you know, the integrin have a complicated interaction with neurotrophin receptor. We thought, you know, maybe osteopontin might be able to help neurotrophin to trigger the response. So indeed, when we combine osteopontin and IGF together, so it seems like that it can trigger robust regeneration, mimicking effect of the P10 deletion. If we give the rapamycin, which is mTOR inhibitor, to this animal, also block the regeneration as well. So interestingly, not only IGF if we replace IGF-1 with BDNF, it's a similar effect. The OPN, the BDNF, this combination also can trigger robust regeneration as well. So for this part of my talk, so we find this OPN osponding and growth factor, these two different growth factor combination can activate mTOR and promote optic regeneration. So importantly, because osteopontin is an extracellular molecule and IGF-1 BDNF, you know, growth factor, so potentially this combination might represent a more translatable strategy of activating mTOR to promote axon regeneration. So in addition to P10, our lab also finds another molecule, this is SOX3. If we delete the SOX3, activated JAK-STAT pathway also, mimicking CNTF effect. So that can also promote regeneration as well. If we combine these two together, so there's a synergistic effect suggesting if, core activation of mTOR or the JAK-STAT, these two different pathway can further enhance the regeneration. So that is from genetic study. How, for more translational, we tested using virus AAV to express osteopontin IGF-1 to activate mTOR, CNTF to activate JAK-STAT. Together, we can see comparable of axon regeneration with P10 SOC3, the core deletion. So again, that is more exciting because these factors, the extracellular molecule potentially might be interesting to look into the translational. We also, to make the regeneration even better. So this is the best regeneration we have achieved in the lab. If we delete the P10 SOX3 and also activate this oncogene c-MYC, so then we can see really a lot of regeneration. This eyeball is over here. So this is a stacked imaging from worm mice. Can see a lot of regenerating axons grow along the optic nerve. A lot of them cross the chiasm. Some even misproject to the other side of optic nerve. But after crossing the chiasm, actually a lot of axons do make mistake. So really we need to combine the strategy like alliance, RoboSLIT, those molecules to see if that can make the regenerating axon to find the right pathway. So this study actually had been done by two former postdocs, original from France, now back in to France. The second question, now we get a really nice regeneration. Question: do those regenerating axons form functional synapses and also mediate the functional recovery? So model I mentioned earlier is optic nerve injury. So we make the injury right after eyeball, for regenerating axon to get to target like a LGN a superior cliculus, that takes months. In fact, we haven't really get a lot of axon reach to the superior cliculus yet. To bypass this question, we have been utilizing an optical tract injury model in the lab. What is interesting that in the neonatal animal, so the superior cliculus, this part of the the brain is not covered by cortex yet. So we can simply insert a knife to do the optical tract injury. In fact, this method has been used by other labs in the past. So we verified this method and also performed that in the P10 SOX3 BCL2 mice. So after injury, the P6, then we inject AAV cream for regeneration group. The control group, the PLAP AAV. So we waited for 2 more weeks, inject the AAV to express channel rhodopsin M cherry into the retina to label, this is a different way of label neuron and the regenerating axon. So we waited for additional 2 to 3 weeks to look at what happened. So it's not surprisingly, in the control animal, axons have very minimal sprouting locally, but if we delete P10 SOX3, we can see a lot of regenerating axon grow into superior colliculus. So, you know, because all of regenerating axon, or most of regenerating axon, are labeled with channel adoption, so we can stimulate them with light to perform electrophysiology. So our lab, our department has a lot of very nice electrophysiology people. You know, Professor Qingfei Chen, we collaborate, we cut the brain slices with a superior colliculus and together with optical nerve. So then we stimulate, using light to stimulate optical nerve, perform the intracellular recording so we can detect NMDL receptor response and AMPA receptor response and NMDL receptor response. So this is from in vitro. Because, you know, regenerating axon labeled with channel adoption, we can also perform in vivo recording as well. So what we did in collaboration with Michaela Fajindini's lab, so we put light to stimulate regenerating axon. At the same spot, we record local field potential. In the intact animal, you know, very nice response. After injury, there's no response. But for those animals with regenerating axon, we do see the recovery of the response. So this in vitro, in vivo recording data together suggesting, you know, this regenerating axon are able to form functional synapses. So the now question is that even though they can form synapses, do this regenerating axon can transduce a signal from eye to the brain? So to test this, we have moved stimulation from terminal to the, you know, from the brain to the eye. So that then we after the stimulation, we still record this response, local field potential in the surface of superior colliculus. So again, you know, in the intact animal, same response. After injury, no response. But surprisingly, for those animals with regenerating axon, so the very minimal response can be achieved, induced by eye-evoked stimulation. So if we quantify this data, for the intact animal, terminal-evoked response is comparable to eye-evoked response. After injury, the nothing. But you know, with regeneration, seems like eye-evoked response has only like 10 to 20% compared to terminal-evoked response, suggesting those regenerating axon have a conduction blockade. So you know, as Alain mentioned earlier, obvious problem might be the myelination. So because regenerating axon labeled with channel adoption mCherry, so we can look at the myelination of those regenerating axon together with co-standing with MAC, myelin-associated glycoprotein, which is a myelination marker. So after look at more than 500 different axons, we didn't see any axons are myelinated. So to further look at the functional relevance, we also, you know, used this compound, 4-aminopyridine. As you know, that is a potassium channel blocker, is actually clinically used drug to promote axon conduction in the MS patient, and also some people have been testing the spinal cord injury animal as well. So what we find is that if we give this compound before and after injury, you can see right after the compound application, that it can immediately enhance eye-evoked response, but doesn't affect terminal-evoked response. So, you know, consistent idea, you know, this 4-AP can really improve the conduction of those regenerating axon. So this data suggesting, you know, after our treatment, optical nerve axons are able to regenerate, but they cannot form myelin, have a pretty bad conduction. So now question, what is a behavioral outcome? So because as I mentioned earlier, you know, this surgery, we cut the optic tract right before superior colliculus. So leaving those retinal genicular projection intact, meaning, you know, their image forming function should be intact. So the question, you know, what a functional behavioral assay might be good for those subcortical projection. So this optimal model assay has been developed by other labs to monitor acuity of the visual response. So it has been shown, you know, this response is LGN relatively independent, but you know, might be controlled by preoptical nucleus, perhaps superior colliculus as well. So basically, if we put the mice in the as a platform surrounding with grafting with different spatial frequency, mice has a tendency to track the grading. So by estimated the maximum spatial frequency mice can track, then we estimated the acuity. So you know, our department has a behavior call. We have a technician, you know, it's a double blind doing all of the behavior assay for, you know, different labs. So we basically just give them, give her the mice, you know, she will do the test for us, then we'll come back to look at the data. So what happens is in the control group, if we do the, in the intact side, it will always have, you know, 0.4, this is intact acuity. After the injury, so the acuity dramatically reduced to like below 0.1. After regeneration, this 8 animal, you know, the two outline seems like getting better, but you know, average score is not a significant different from control group. In the so this is without any treatment. After 4-AP treatment, still nothing happened to the control group, but you know, the regeneration group is significantly, the performance significantly improved. So if we plot this data a different way, in the intact side, there's no change with or without a 4-AP, but for those animal with regeneration, so among 8 animal, the 2 did not respond to 4-AP, 6 did. You know, because all of this experiment did it double blindly, so finally we can look at the correlation with histology. So interestingly, those two animals failed to respond to 4-AP, happened to the two animal, you know, without regeneration. So other pretty much like have correlate anatomical regeneration, electrophysiological response, and the behavioral response. So, however, you know, those experiments have been done in the P10 SOC3 delete animal genetic model and also young animal lesion. So, you know, obviously we want to test the translational potential. So we did the two modifications. One, we designed a method to do the adult optic tract injury. Then we also replaced P10 SOC3 deletion with this more translatable OPN IGF-1 CNTF treatment, AAV in Y-type mice. So what we did is in adult mice, cut the make the transection of the optic tract, then wait for 2 days, you know, we treat with AAV, then an additional 2 weeks, inject AAV to express channel adoption for the electrophysiology, because those modulation might be because of timing. So we intentionally waited for like 4 to 5 months to see, you know, if that will, you know, the modulation or the behavior outcome will be restored. So this result from a behavior assay. So in the control animal, you know, is a very bad performance. With or without 4-AP treatment, but after this treatment with OPN, IGF, and CNTF, by itself, they are not respond, so they still have a better acuity, but with 4-AP, this pharmacological treatment, and all it's a derivative of 4-AP called, you know, the different, another compound. So both can lead to significant improvement in this behavior assay. And similarly, we can also, you know, find the correlated response in the electrophysiological response. Finally, for the anatomy, so in the control animal, we cut the optical tract somewhere here, So, you know, as you expected, you know, axons have some retraction to the area of LGN, but after OPN, IGF-1, CNDF treatment, so we see a lot of regenerating axons grow along the optical tract, you know, some get into the superior colliculus. So if we look in the high MAC, you can see the axon seems like terminate in the superficial layer, pretty much like a physiological targeting of the intact axon. So, you know, as, because we cut the optical tract, you know, quite right after LGN, so, you know, leaving other subcortical region also denervated well with this treatment, so we can see the regenerating axon also get into the pre-optical nucleus and other, you know, the very complicated area. So as you know, some of the area might be mediated pupil reflex. So now we are doing more careful dissection to see what anatomy correlated with which behavior. So again, you know, for this animal, we don't see the myelination. So the similar to the young animal. So this data together suggesting even though with the, our treatment, regenerating axons are able to form functional synapses, but somehow, you know, they cannot be myelinated. So it seems like that could be a limiting step towards the functional recovery. So this might be important point because unlike embryonic stage, brain size is relatively smaller, but in adults, for the visual information to trigger the response in the brain, you know, for this long distance projection, you know, prop axon conduction might be really important for the coordination of different brain function. To summarize what I talked today, you know, we identified some of the molecule might be important for promoting axon regeneration after injury. We demonstrated this regenerating axon could form functional synapses, but not myelinated. We think that's important to study in the future. As Alain introduced, you know, some of the approach his lab has been doing will be extremely informative for our future study. So together, you know, we demonstrate feasibility. We might be able to achieve some functional recovery by promoting axon regeneration. But, you know, still a lot of questions over there. You know, a lot of type of axon still cannot be regenerated with all of our treatment. So as I mentioned earlier, Josh's lab has many different mouse line. We are doing continued collaboration to in hope to dissect, you know, what is the molecular program for different subtype of RGC to regenerate. I also mentioned a lot of regenerating axon cannot find the right target. So, you know, that is a challenge for the people in the axon guidance field. So, you know, now we are doing this very crude behavior assay. We still have no idea what happened to other behavior assay. So, you know, the more philosophical question, the what degree of the synaptic specificity is needed for each of those behavior performance, and what type of functional recovery might be possible. And as John mentioned in the first beginning, so there's a lot of other strategy to promote function recovery, like, you know, activity-dependent approach. So we are actively combining those together in hope to maximize regeneration and function recovery. So this is our optic nerve group. Fenfen Bei is a postdoc fellow, actually. Now he's choosing a job in at Harvard and Yale. And Stephen and Homara, two former postdocs, just moved back to France in Grenoble Institute of Neuroscience. So we have really good colleagues in our area. Josh's lab, as mentioned, Michaela Fagellini, her postdoc, Henry, worked together with Fenfen, did all of the electrophysiology experiment, Qinfei on the Judy stand. So we also, you know, this work has been supported by funding from National Eye Institute and also a program of Harvard MIT collaboration in neuroscience. Thank you very much.